Goeiemôre gemeente, net enkele afkondigings voor die erediens vanaf die kerkraad. Eerste is dat die jaarlikse kerkvisitasie sal plaasvind as die Here wil op vrijdag 5 September. Lidmate wat die visitatore wil spreek, moet asseblief vooraf aan die kerkraad bekend maak, dat dit gereel kan word. En dan word jy ook herinner in preekverwerking of gebedsaand en of gebedsaand donderdag, hier by die kerk om 19:30, 7:30. En die collectus is vandag bestem vir die kerk en sending. And then we thank Reverend Nisi for being with us this morning. Look forward to the service. Thank you.
I greet you, brothers, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful to be with you this morning, to fellowship together with you. After the greeting and the blessing, we sing from Psalm 33, and there we sing verse 1 and 2, Psalm 33, verse 1 and 2, after the greeting. Let us stand. When we meet as a church, we confess our utter dependence on the Lord, that in everything we have, in everything we need, we depend on our Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And the Lord also blesses us. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord invites us to listen to his commandment, and we come to, in this part of worship, to confess our sins. We come to listen to the word of God, confessing our sins. But at the same time, also we come with gratitude, with joy, as we know that our Lord Jesus Christ has conquered for us on the cross. The Greek word to listen is akouo. Akouo from what we use, the acoustic, but the or maybe end the Greek word for obedience is hupakouo. So akouo is still the same word as from the same root, hupakouo, with the word hupeo, hyper. So meaning that we not only should we be the listeners of the word, but also those who live by the word. Obedience is important to the Lord. We will read from Exodus 20. Exodus 20, then there we read from verse 1 to 17. Exodus 20, verse 1 to 17. And in response to the word of God, to the commandment of God, we sing from Psalm 130. Psalm 130, the whole psalm, where the psalmist also says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. It is only God who can forgive our sins. And as we come to the commandments, we come with joy because of what Christ has done for us. Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to a thousand of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Let us assemble in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, our Father, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we are thankful this morning. We sing to your glory. We are reminded of Psalm 92 that says how good it is to give a thanks to you, O Lord, to sing to your honor, O Lord, to sing to your glory and to who you are. We thank you that we can come this morning, Lord, that we can respond to your calling. We thank you for all your blessings as we look back, that it is not through our strength that we are able to be here today. Lord, as we look forward also to the coming week, Lord, we pray that you be with us. And that's why we confess our utter dependence on who you are, O Lord. Even, Lord, when we look at our lives, we see sin, O Lord. We pray as we read the commandments, they are like a mirror to our lives, where we reflect, Lord, how we fall short of doing what you require us to do. And we pray and we are like the psalmist who is almost drowning because of his sins. Lord, he cries unto you. He knows that it is only you who can save. He longs for your salvation more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than those who watch and wait for the morning. Help us, O Lord, to hate our sins, but at the same time also, Lord, help us to run to you and to cling to you. We thank you, Lord, that we can come also this morning. We pray that you can accept all our singing as an aroma to you, O Lord. Lord, we also pray as we are about to read your word that you might open our hearts, our minds, Lord, that you might lead us in all that is to be said today. Help us to grow in prayer. Help us, O Lord, that we can be a praying church, that we can be a praying, O Lord, believers, that in all things that we face our difficulties, Lord, that we might bring them to you in prayer. Thank you for this opportunity. Lead us today and forgive all our shortcomings and restore us to you through your grace. O Lord, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but only to your name be honor, be glory. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading today is Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, we read from verse 2 until verse 18. Colossians 4, and then from verse 2 until verse 18. I've invited my brother to read, to lead us in the scripture reading.
Kolossense 4 vers 2 tot 18. Ek lees vir ons in Afrikaans. Volhard in die gebed en waak daarin met danksegging. En bid tergelijkertyd ook vir ons, dat God vir ons die deur van die woord mag open, om te spreek van die verborgenheid van Christus, waarvoor ek ook in boeie is, dat ek dit openbaar kan maak, soos ek dit behoort te spreek. Wandel in wysheid teenoor die wat buite is, en koop die tyd uit, laat julle woord altyd aangenaam wees, met sout besprinkel, sodat julle kan weet hoe julle ieder een moet antwoord. Al my omstandighede sal Tychicus, die geliefde broeder en getroue dienaar en mededienskneg in die Here, julle bekend maak. Ek het hom na julle gestuur juis hiervoor, om julle toestande te leer ken en julle harte te vertroos. Saam met Onesimus, die getroue en geliefde broeder wat van julle mense is. Hulle sal julle alles bekend maak wat hier voorval. Aristarchus, my mede gevangene, moet julle en Markus, die neef van Barnabas, oor wie julle beveel ontvang het, as hy by julle kom, ontvang hom. Ook Jesus, wat Justus genoem word, manne wat uit die besnijdenis is. Hulle alleen is my medewerkers vir die koninkryk van God, en hulle wat het troos vir, en was het troos vir my. Epafras, wat een van julle is, het dienskneg van Christus, groet julle en strei altyd vir julle in gebede, dat julle volmaak en volkome mag staan in die ganse wil van God. Want ek getuig van hom, dat hy 'n groot ywer het vir julle en vir die wat in Laodicea en die wat in Hierapolis is. Die geneesheer Lukas, die geliefde en Demas, groet julle. Groet die broeders in Laodicea en Nymphas en die gemeente wat in sy huis is. En wanneer hierdie brief by julle gelees is, sorg dat dit ook in die gemeente van die Laodiceense gelees word, en dat julle ook die uit Laodicea lees. En sê aan Archippus, gee ag op die bediening wat jy ontvang het in die Here, dat jy dit vervul. Die groete van Paulus met my eie hand, dink aan my boeie, die genade sy met julle. Amen. Sover.
As a response to the word of God, we sing from Psalm 17, and there we sing verse 1 and 2. Psalm 17, verse 1 and 2, as a response to the word of God. Our text this morning is Colossians chapter 4 and then verse 12. Colossians 4 verse 12, I read it in English. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you might stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and also the preaching of the gospel. After the preaching, we respond to the preaching of God's word from Psalm 123. Psalm 123, there we sing verse 1 and 2. Psalm 123, and then verse 1 and 2 as a response to the word of God. By way of introduction, a famous saxophonist, Kenny G. Yes, Kenny G. This famous saxophonist, maybe most of you know, has taught himself a breathing technique. And this is what they called circular breathing that enables him to play notes continually without having to stop for a breath. Circular breathing requires that the musician to breathe air in through his nose at the same time that he blows air out into the instrument. The trick is to build up a reserve air in your cheeks, blowing that air into the instrument while breathing fresh air through your nose. Well, it is said that Kenny G used this circular breathing in 1997 to earn a spot in the Guinness Book of World Record for the longest held musician note. In that they say he sustained an E flat for 45 minutes and 47 seconds. Well, I'm not a musician, but that is that with music. But brothers and sisters, for us as a Christian church, to keep up in this life, we need prayer. We need to be in constant engagement with God in prayer. Martin Luther wrote, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Spurgeon also wrote and he commented on this, "No man can progress in grace if he forsakes prayer." No man can progress in grace if he forsakes prayer. I preach to you a prayer that demonstrates our total submission to God. A prayer that demonstrates our total submission to God. And two things we shall consider together. Firstly, that prayer, it looks to him, it looks to Christ as our master and we as slaves. This prayer in the first point look to Christ as our only master and then we as slaves. It wrestles with him in the second place. It wrestles with him on behalf of others. This prayer wrestles with him, wrestles with God, with Christ on behalf of others. A prayer that demonstrates our total submission to God. It looks to him, it looks to Christ as our master and we as slaves. And this prayer wrestles with Christ, with God and on behalf of others. So it's a prayer that is also praying for others also. It looks to Christ as our only master. It's a prayer that is looking to him, to Christ, as our master. In Colossians chapter 4, where we have read, we find the greetings, we find the plans, and the last instructions of the letter, of this letter. In verses 10 to 14, we find the greetings from people to the Colossians. And from verse 15 to 17, Paul mentions people to whom they must send greetings to. Verses 10 to 11, Paul gives greetings from the three Jews who were his co-workers. In verses 12 to 14, he gives greetings to three Christians out of the Gentiles, one of whom is Epaphras. As we read in our text, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you might stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Epaphras was already mentioned in Colossians 1 verse 7. He was the one who first brought the gospel to the Colossians. He is part of their community, a trustworthy leader in the church. However, it did not look like he would return to them soon, because somebody else brought the letter to the Colossians. So this is the church of Colossae. It's one of the churches mentioned, few churches mentioned in the New Testament where it was not established by Paul. So Epaphras was the one who went and preached the gospel in Colossae. So to say, the Lord used him to establish the church here in Colossae. In Philemon 1 verse 23, Paul calls Epaphras my fellow prisoner, which suggests that he was working with Paul from the time being, or actually he was in prison with Paul. He is separated from the Colossians, but still he has the Colossians in his heart. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. The word servant can be better translated with the word slave. With this word, the author wants to describe Epaphras' total dependence and total dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. By naming Epaphras a slave here, he gives him an honorary name, a highest status. His description of Epaphras emphasizes why he calls him a slave. He is always in prayer, just like Paul the slave. In prayer, he shows his dependence and dedication as a slave of Christ Jesus. The word slave here must not be mistaken to the humiliation and the misuse of slavery, all that history, but of a total, here we talk of a total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, an unconditional obedience to the master. Being a slave means that you belong exclusively to your master. They work by his commission, represent his cause, and must give account to him. In the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, this word can refer to a high position such as kings and prophets. Brothers and sisters, Paul described greatness in God's service in a direct opposition to a status-conscious world. Greatness in God's is in service, living your life humbly as a slave, serving only your master, who is your Lord Jesus Christ. Epaphras, the slave, total dependence and total dedication to Christ. That is the reason why he is in prayer for the whole church. He knows who he is. And then also he knows who Christ is. Because he is so dependent on Christ for the fulfillment of his work and ministry, he's in prayer the whole time, because he's fully dedicated to Christ the Lord, the one who has to open the hearts and work growth. He is in prayer that Christ can't be active. Our dependence and our dedication to Christ is first of all seen in prayer. Do we really know who has to do the work? Do we really know who is the beginning of all good things? Do we really know that what our place is in all this work? Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you. But what does Paul tell the church of Colossae about Epaphras' prayer for them? Because in this way, they know what really lives in his heart, in the heart of Epaphras. What is truly the desire of Epaphras as he think of the Colossians? Paul heard Epaphras' prayer in public, in maybe when he was doing public prayers. But probably also he saw him wrestle in private, in his own private devotion for the Colossians. This shows somebody what truly the character of the person, who the person is, your character, what you pray for and how you pray, especially that which depends between you and the living God. When no one else is listening, from the collars of his knees, from how low the slave bows before his gracious master, from how empty his hands are, from how he wrestles and pleads with God for the fullness of Christ in the church. That is how we know the true desire of a person, that the person has for the spreading and the progress of the gospel. In all our important work that we do in the church or in the kingdom of God, it can still be a lot about ourselves. It can still be more about our glory, our pride, our advantage. But to wrestle in private prayer with God for others, to wrestle with God in private for the progress of the gospel, that is a total selflessness and a total commitment to the master. To be a slave of Christ means that one's possessions, aspiration, and time belong completely to him. Christ owns him, and therefore Epaphras does not offer service to him only as time in inclination permit. Being a slave of Christ in this passage shows us that in all our work we are doing for Christ, the most important is to look to him in prayer. In all the work we do in church, the most important work, it is to look to God in prayer. One commentator observed, "We are never more at our highest and our greatest than when we are on our knees before God." We are never more at our highest and our greatest when we are on our knees before God. Martin Luther wrote, the reformer, "If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer." Luther says, if I have, I need to pray every day, 2 hours he spends. He was one example of prayer, the prayer warrior. So he prayed for 2 hours. But then he says, Now today I have so much business. There's a lot to do for me. House visit maybe needs to, whatever he needs to write, cancel people, all the work that the minister is doing, even more. If you consider his work, what he has done in history. But he says, I have too much to do that I have to spend at an hour. I need to spend more hours in prayer. Brothers and sisters, prayer is not an extra with and after our real work as Christians. Prayer is our work, our best work, especially because it's now in the hands of the glorious Master. It's in the hands of the Almighty God. And then we can only depend on him as lowly slaves. Secondly, this prayer wrestled with God on behalf of others. It's a prayer that wrestles with God on behalf of others. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you might stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Epaphras here shows the same desire for the Colossians as Paul. He's always wrestling in prayer for you. Paul is also in prayer for them. If you read chapter 1, verse 3, he also wrestles for them. If you read chapter 1, verse 29, he also seek their maturity. Chapter 1, verse 28. He also wants them to be confirmed in all the will of God. Chapter 1, verse 9. With the words from our text, Paul asserts Epaphras' authority and desire for the Colossians. Epaphras clearly has a deep burden for the Colossians. The word wrestling shows strenuous work. It often has an athletic or wrestling connotation. Somebody working tremendously hard to achieve the goal. The word creates the picture of the intense battle that must lead to victory. It brings up the idea of the battle in the arena. It is also sometimes translated as battling, contesting, contending, struggling, laboring fervently, or toiling strenuously. The slave gives everything he has in prayer to fulfill his task. Every ounce of energy, every last bit of the mental capacity, he's giving everything to God in prayer. Our prayer is not just, prayer should not be just mentioning something to God who already knows it anyway. Our prayer is to wrestle with God on behalf of others. We need to wrestle with God on behalf of others for their spiritual growth and safety. The Lord wants to truly hear the desire of our hearts for others. He wants to hear how much it really means to us, how important it is really to us, how much we are really willing to sacrifice for it. The sovereign God has made it part of his will to be wrestled with before giving. That sounds strange. No. No, we never wrestle against God. His will is always good, but we do wrestle with God because he wants to see and grow the desire, the fire in our hearts for him and his work. There's a war that is raging in the world. A war in which Satan is constantly attacking his children, attacking the children of God. Satan is trying to pull them away from the fullness of Christ. trying to get them to settle on the gospel, on Jesus Christ plus something else. In other cultures also, trying to pull people to depend on the gospel of Jesus Christ plus someone else. The latter was in the case in Colossae, Jesus plus something. Our biggest battle in this war is the battle of prayer. A wrestling in prayer that God will, we wrestle in prayer that God will protect his children and make them grow in Christ alone. The reality of the danger, the reality of what can be lost, the glory of the fullness of God, these are all things that bring us to struggle to God in prayer. We just have to look to the Psalms to see how we must wrestle with God. They don't just simply mention things, the psalmist. They don't mention things to God. They elaborate on what it means to them, demonstrating their intense feelings about it. They tell God about how they feel. Well, they don't conceal this to God, who knows it already. Brothers and sisters, our petitions often lack the sense of agency. God wants to be persuaded by us. Even though he is a sovereign God, he wants to hear our reasons. He wants to hear how we build our case. See, for instance, Abraham in Genesis 18, Moses in Exodus 32 and 34. We come with humility. We know our place as servants, but we come with determination, supporting our desires as well as we can. For this, you can even use a pen and paper to write before you wrestling with God. This is how you can pray for a long time on a request without falling into mindless repetitions. Martin Luther wrote again when he was praying for the healing of his friend Philip Melanchthon. Martin Luther wrote, "This time I beset the Almighty with great vigor. I attacked him with his own weapons, quoting from scripture all the promises that I could remember that prayer should be granted." We wrestle with God. We do it by making our arguments, grounded upon the principle drawn from his nature, from the nature of God, from the name of God, from the works of God. We try and persuade God by who himself is. Lord, answer our prayer because of who you are. In this way, we might have a full liberty and boldness to wrestle as small servants, as slaves, with the Holy, Almighty, and Sovereign God. Brothers and sisters, because God is righteous, we do not accept injustice in this world, but wrestled with God to bring justice. Because God is love, we do not ignore coldness and hate in the church, but constantly remind God of whom he is. Because God is faithful, we do not accept marriages where two people are drifting apart, but struggle with God for his work in his people. Because God is merciful, because God is merciful, we do not rest when sin between two people is not confessed and forgiven, but we keep on wrestling with God. As we think again also of the mission work, I come as a missionary. We should never stop wrestling with God in prayer. It should not be about money and aid in the first place, but we need to give ourselves fully to God in prayer, and that is a total selflessness that we can do. God wants us to pray, and he wants to hear our prayers, not because we are worthy, but because he is merciful. That is Martin Luther again. God wants us to pray, and he wants to hear our prayers, not because we are worthy, but because he is merciful. Brothers and sisters, wrestling is the same word used in John 18, verse 36. The kingdom of Christ is not enhanced by physical wars and fighting, but by battling in prayer. Also in the church, we do not dominate, we do not force things, but we have to pray. Wrestling with God is hard work. It requires good preparation. It requires our best time of concentration. It cannot just be left to left as an extra somewhere in the day, or maybe before we go to bed when we are tired. Good prayer is sweaty work. I want to state categorically that wrestling in prayer with God does not mean that we become arrogant or inordinate, impatient or selfish or distempered in our prayers. We do not name and claim it. I don't know if you know the concept. Name it and claim it. We do not name it and claim it in our prayer, but we plead with God, always acknowledging and resting on the words, "Let your will, which alone is good for us, be done. Let your will, God, which is only good for us, let your will be done." It is true that God is a sovereign God and does not need our prayers to be good. But God does want to hear us wrestling with him and uses this to make us part of his work. The one who does not really pray does not really become the part of God's work in this world. When we show in our prayer how our desire is the same as God's desire, we truly become bond slaves, willingly and totally connected to the one master in everything. We wrestle with God. We do not wrestle against God. It is the Father's desire that all of his children will find and live in the fullness of Christ. And therefore, our wrestling with God is asking that God will agently and completely act according to the desire of his own heart. When we pray to God, we say, "Lord, please do much more what you desire. Lord, do much more what you desire." Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of his highest willingness. One author wrote, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of his highest willingness." Epaphras the servant is kneeling. The Colossians are encouraged to be perfect in their standing. The bond slave of Christ is giving everything he has in prayer in order that or until the church might stand firmly in the fullness of God. You have Epaphras kneeling and praying, but he's praying that the church would stand. In conclusion, Paul writes in Romans, in the book of Romans, "Whom then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus died, more than dead, who has raised to life, is at the right hand of God, is also interceding for us." Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is interceding for us in heaven. This is how we can understand our text in Colossians. We must see Christ as the one who prays for us in heaven, the one whose request the Father will never leave unanswered. We wrestle with God, but we wrestle in peace. Because Christ himself, he is the guarantee that all his children will reach the fullness of the life in him. He is the real shepherd of the sheep. A hymn goes, the chorus of the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed at thy hand has provided. God has already provided all, much more than we need in Christ Jesus. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. In human affairs, we accomplish everything through prayer. What has properly been arranged, we keep in order. What has gone amiss, we change and improve. What cannot be changed and improved, we bear. Overcoming all the trouble and sustaining all the good by prayer. Against force, there is no help but prayer alone. Amen. Let us pray again. O the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, indeed, Lord, how unsearchable are your judgments and how unscrutable your ways. For who has known the mind of you, O Lord, or who has been your counselor, or who has given a gift to you that you might repay? For from you, O Lord, through you, and in you all things are. In you, O Lord, be the honor and glory. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you in prayer. We thank you for this means of grace, the powerful tool that you have given to your church, that we can pray, that you, Lord, creating everything, sustaining everything, knowing everything, controlling everything, Lord, you have made us part of your work through prayer, that we can pray that we can speak to you in our prayers. Help us to be praying Christians. Help us to be a praying church, that in all our difficulties that we face in our daily lives, Lord, that we can always wrestle with you in prayer. Give it all to in your hands. Thank you for your word today. Teach us how to pray. Lord, give us more time and willingness to come to you in prayer. I pray, O Lord, that you would be with the ministries of this church, the activities, the Bible studies, all the plans that the church has to further the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we should not think, Lord, that your work, it depends upon big budgets and strategic plans. Lord, bless the small meetings, the Bible studies in the homes, the Bible studies in the church. Help them, O Lord, to grow. For, O Lord, you don't see things the way people looked at. And we pray, O Lord, that you can help us, that in all things that we can come to you in prayer. We pray also specifically for Muruti Brusma, his family. We thank you, Lord, that he can minister to this church. Continue, O Lord, to be with him in all his struggles, all the challenges that he faces in his personal life. Also, Lord, in the ministry, we pray that you can strengthen him. We thank you, Lord, that your word will be preached twice a Sunday. The gospel of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, can be preached. We pray for the church council, their families, the deacons, their families. We pray all the church members, O Lord. We remember those who are sick, those who cannot come today because of other challenges. We pray, O Lord, that you can enable them, that they might be with us in the future. Thank you, Lord, that also we can be in such a church federation where we can at times exchange pulpits. And we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to preach your word. But we also pray for the other brothers and sisters who are meeting elsewhere, that you continue to bless your work. Lord, we pray for forgiveness of sin. Bless us through this new week in everything that we are going to do, that we might give glory and praise to you. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As a closing hymn, we will sing from Psalm 33, and then there we sing verse 11. Psalm 33, verse 11, as a closing hymn. For now we thank the Lord. We'll take collection and thank the Lord with our gifts. Let us receive the blessing from the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.